Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And now we'll bring in our man Jake Rowe from Dogs 247 and 247sports.com. Jake, good morning. How are you? Hello. Do we have Jake? Hey, Jake.
Hello.
Can you hear me? Yeah, we can hear you. Can you hear us?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
You the man. Apologies. We were coming back, all of a sudden the power in the building went out for about 5 seconds, so we had to reboot a bunch of stuff. I don't know if it was from the storms or not. I don't know. I think I heard some thunder. So maybe we got a little lightning shot there. Anyway, good talking to you. Man, what a Sunday it was for the Georgia football team. Did you see I know with the reveal and all that stuff, they were expecting they were going to get some of this kind of stuff with the guys committing. But to get two guys from Louisiana is interesting because Georgia doesn't have a ton of history of signing players from Louisiana. It's been hard to get players out of that state. So big monumental day as far as all that went.
Right, yes. And, you know, I was looking back and thinking about it yesterday. I think, you know, Michael Chigbu obviously is a guy that Georgia got out of New Orleans. And then I think before that, you might have to go all the way back to Terrell Biera, which is, you know, I mean, Coach Donnan would know better than me, but I think that was like late 90s.
So, yeah, Terrell Biera, and a guy named Demetric Evans.
I remember Demetric Evans too. He played in the league with the Skins.
Yeah,
for a few years.
Those two. Yeah, I mean that's
a pretty solid career.
Yeah, definitely. But just not a whole. I guess what happened to that Aaron Brulé from last year? He was a commit, but he ended up going somewhere else.
I don't know. He might have ended up at TCU Mississippi State. It was somewhere like that, but. But, yeah, I mean, I think Georgia's done a pretty good job over there. You know, I think Dan Lanning has kind of given them a little bit better of an in over there. You know, when Pruitt was at Georgia and they had Sam Petito in kind of in the support staff, and Sam Petito had some really strong ties over there, and they had reeled in. You know, that Devontae Smith kid that caught the second and 26, they had him committed at one point as well. And you know, that one was one that you know, it was something. Louisiana's been a place Georgia's been trying to get into for a while now, and they've had some spotty success here and there, but not two guys in one day, and not two guys of that caliber, especially John Emery Jr., who, you know, if you would have bet me going into that day, I would have said no chance. I would have bet on other guys. I would have said Jermaine Johnson, the number one JUCO defensive end in the country, or I would have said, you know, maybe B.J. Daniel, the number one JUCO cornerback in the country. And neither one of those guys popped. Georgia got, you know, the two kids in Louisiana and a guy I love in Ryan Davis. So, you know, it was a huge weekend, obviously, and one that you know, put, you know, took Georgia from number five in the 247 Sports Composite Team Rankings to number two. And now Georgia, if they get those two guys I just mentioned, you know, Johnson and Daniel, they will have a chance. No, they won't have a chance. They'll be the number one class in the country again, with two fewer commitments than Alabama has, the team that will be behind them.
Talking with Jake Rowe from Dogs 247, 247sports.com.
Jake, yesterday a defensive tackle, a JUCO defensive tackle, Savion Williams, wound up committing to Tennessee, but he was at the big reveal over the weekend here in Athens. I think Georgia, as far as I know, was high on him. Is this just a case of Jeremy Pruitt just beating out Kirby Smart, or are there maybe bigger players that, you know, Georgia's still after on that defensive line?
You know, I couldn't tell you. I think Georgia fans, with how they feel right now about how the Bulldogs are recruiting, I think they'd rather, you know, they're going to choose to believe that Georgia just didn't want him, that wouldn't take him, all that stuff. But I don't know that that's the case. It's tough. I haven't really heard much about, you know, how well he did this weekend, you know, because they had a camp on Friday. And they had a lot of guys come in and you know, kind of camp. That's what Micaiah Tung did. Is he came in and kind of earned, you know, the opportunity for Georgia to put the press on him and go after him hard. And so that's one of the reasons that he became such a top target over the weekend. So I know Savion Williams worked out for Georgia. I don't know how well that went, but you know, listen, Jeremy Pruitt's a great recruiter. He's beaten out, you know, Kirby Smart before. I mean, he has. He's beaten, you know, when he was at Georgia and Kirby Smart was at Alabama, he beat him for guys. When he went to Florida State and Kirby Smart was at Alabama, he beat him out for guys. I mean, these guys beat each other for you know, guys. Mike Bobo's beating Kirby Smart out for guys. So it's not like, you know, that it's a foreign concept for a coach to get beat on a recruit. It's going to happen every now and then. But I'm not entirely sure what happened with that situation. I do know that Georgia's really high on Tymon Mitchell, a defensive tackle out of Tennessee, and that it'd be kind of crazy for Georgia to get three of its four defensive linemen in this class out of the state of Tennessee. But it looks like that's got a strong chance of happening.
Well, and we've gotten spoiled, too, because anytime somebody doesn't commit to Georgia, everybody wants to know, what's wrong? What's wrong with the Dogs? You know, and it's like, you can't get everybody. So it does kind of, you know, work its way out. Have you started to notice that also?
Oh, for sure, yeah. I mean, you know, it happened on Monday with Andrew Booth, you know, five-star cornerback out of Archer High School, a place that Georgia hasn't particularly recruited all that great and hasn't had a ton of success out of there. But you know, Andrew Booth commits to Clemson, and folks are like, it's just hard. You know, there was a post on our board. It's just hard for me to believe that Georgia didn't have any tracks for this kid. What went wrong? And you know, sometimes it's just, I mean, listen, you're dealing with individuals. You just are. And sometimes, you know, you come out with a brand new car, and, you know, somebody comes out with a brand new vehicle, and it's awesome, and it's the best thing out there, and it's awesome, and everybody loves it. And I'll say it again, it's awesome. And then, you know, not everybody wants to buy it. You know, somebody wants to go a different route. You kind of want to do your own thing. Clemson's not a bad spot to be right now either. They've been to three straight college football playoffs. They've got a lot to sell. They've got a water slide. You know, they've got all kinds of cool stuff. So it's sometimes you just don't get traction with a kid. Georgia's had a few of those in state this year. Guys like Wanya Morris, a five-star offensive tackle out of Grayson. You know, the kid out of Buford, Harry Miller, who I think is going to be an absolute stud at the next level, going to Ohio State. I think he's going to be a stud center. It happens, and it's not that big of a deal, you know, especially when you're like George is doing right now, and they're recruiting nationally. You know, George's got an excellent chance to land Louis Cine out of Texas. I mean, they got a good chance to land Tyreek Stevenson, another elite defensive back from Miami. You know, they are recruiting around the country, you know, as well as anybody. It's Jermaine Johnson, kid's from Minnesota originally, and is playing his JUCO ball in Kansas, and I fully expect Georgia to get him sometime in some point in the next few days. So, you know, that's just how it goes, and Georgia's recruiting nationally, and when you recruit nationally like that, there's going to be a guy or two locally that you feel like you need to get, and you're not going to get them, not necessarily because you didn't recruit them hard or you did anything wrong, but just because, you know, you fill spots in certain areas, and you know, sometimes it's because you don't take them, and sometimes it's just because you don't get traction. And for whatever reason, there's going to be, you know, a few of those guys out there, and you just need to get used to that.
Last year there were, I don't know, three, four, five verbal commitments that once it got closer to signing day or after the early signing period, you see the tweet or the Instagram that says, I want to thank the Georgia coaches for all their support, but I'm going to open up my recruiting, which you kind of, you know how that works. Are there any of these, 16 verbal commitments we have right now that are in that boat, or are these, all these guys pretty solid to either sign early or sign in February?
You never know. I mean, you really don't. I mean, there may be a guy or two that they got recruited early on. I mean, I wouldn't expect that there are any of these dudes that they just took a commitment from to come off the list or anything like that. But, you know, you look down the line, and you know, maybe there's somebody they nudge off the list if they can get Owen Papo back in the fold, or maybe there's a guy they nudge off the list if they can get, you know, all of these defensive backs that they're in the mix for here at the end with Cine and Elam and Stevenson and Daniel. You know, you just don't know. I mean, I don't think so. You know, I think that they've done a much more selective job in this class of doing that, and I think that they can get the guys that they want and just kind of, you know, play out the string this way. But I mean, it would never shock me. That's one of the things about the way Georgia's recruiting and the way Georgia's playing, right, is I've said this probably a million times about, like, the, and I'll compare it to the Justin Fields and Jake Fromm thing. Not going to shock me at all if Justin Fields beats out Jake Fromm. I wouldn't necessarily predict it. I think Jake Fromm's definitely going to begin the season as a starter. But you know, it's not going to blow me away or you know, it's not going to be some shocking turn of events if Justin Fields ends up getting named the starter before game one, because he's talented enough to do that, just like Jake Fromm's talented enough to hold him off. And the recruiting is kind of the same way. I mean, when you're recruiting as well as Georgia is, and you've got so many great recruiters on staff with Del McGee and James Coley and those guys, I think that anything's possible.
Talking with Jake Rowe from Dogs 247, 247sports.com.
Jake, recruiting obviously a hot topic as we head into the season, but right now, in the famous words of Allen Iverson, we're about to be talking about practice. On Friday, the boys will hit the field for the first time. I think it's 2:53 to finally get out there. But I've asked a couple other people this question. I'll ask you the same thing and just kind of see how different people are. When you're out there, on Friday, and they finally let the media folks out onto the field, there's so many position battles to watch this camp. Where will Jake Rowe's eyes be going first as soon as we get out there on Friday?
You know, I want to see Demetrius Robertson. I just kind of want to see, you know, what he looks like, what he's out there, what number he's wearing. Heck, I'm also trying to figure out, you know, get confirmation. You know, you got a good idea what number all these other freshmen are wearing, but I want to figure out what numbers the freshmen are wearing, all that stuff. I mean, day one, they're out there in helmets. It's the first day. You know, things can look, you know, really good or really bad. It really doesn't matter on day one. That's one reason why I feel like fans kind of got a little bit of a raw deal this year with the open practice. It's going to be the second practice. It's going to be a helmets-only practice. So, you know, day one is, you know, it's not really that important for me. I think the day that I always kind of circle is the day after the first scrimmage. And the day after the first scrimmage, I think, is probably going to be August 13th, if I'm not mistaken, or August 12th. It'll be that Monday after the second full week or the first full week. And so, you know, that's the one where I want to see, you know, how's the depth chart changed? You know, is there a different – are they shuffled up the offensive line? Is there a guy working at safety instead of corner or vice versa? Who are the linebackers going first in every line? Just stuff like that. And but you know, as far as the quarterback battle goes, I mean, you know, I will say this. When it comes to – you know, I know folks are going to be really interested in that. Over the past few years, Georgia has been very predictable by what we see in practice. They haven't tried to hide anything when it comes to practice. If one guy's taking the first rep and with the number one receiver and you know, that's how it is, then that's how it's been. And so, you know, once we get into camp week by week, that's going to be something, you know, to keep an eye on, because if Justin Fields ever flops over into that, you know, spot where Jake Fromm usually is, I think that's an indicator.
By the way, how did you vote SEC East after the Dogs? What was your order, at least like second, third, and fourth?
I had South Carolina 2. I think I had Florida 3. I think I had Missouri 3, Florida 4, Tennessee 5, Kentucky 6, and Vanderbilt 7. Yeah, because I think Tennessee's going to be a little better than folks think, especially within conference. I know they've got kind of a tough out-of-conference slate, tough schedule overall, but I think Tennessee's going to be okay. I don't think they're going to be the disaster they were last year. And I'm kind of a little bit down on Florida. And you know, since SEC media days and all the stuff that's happened since then, all the distractions they've got, I kind of feel pretty good about that one.
Are you down? I know the distractions, but as far as Mullen himself and his coaching, how do you like him? And by the way, he left Moorhead a pretty good team over at Mississippi State.
Oh, I'm big on Dan Mullen as a coach. I think he is a fine football coach. I think he should be recruiting better at Florida right now than he is, and maybe he does. Maybe they go out and win some ball games and start winning some guys over, but they're struggling. They're really struggling right now in recruiting. You know, if you believe in the rankings, and there's at least an element of belief that should be there. But I think he's a really good coach, and you know, he spun his wheels early a little bit at Mississippi State, but eventually he kind of got his culture in place and started making inroads and doing that sort of thing. But I do think that he's, at some point, if he's going to be at Florida for a long time, if he's going to win big, if he's going to win the SEC East there, because, listen, I got to give a lot of credit to these people who said that, you know, Kirby Smart was going to come in here and recruit like this and Georgia was going to create an almost insurmountable talent gap, because that looks like it's happening. And if it does, Dan Mullen, Jeremy Pruitt, and I think Pruitt's a little bit better equipped at Tennessee with the staff he has and the recruiters he has, that they're going to have to recruit better. And you know, Florida, they're not going to be able to hang with Dan Mullen for 4 or 5 years, him recruiting like he is now, because before you know it, you know, Georgia's roster will be, you know, it'll lap theirs and then some. And that's kind of the problem they're having to run into right now.
You know what else is going to be interesting is to see how the new redshirt rule plays out and how coaches approach that with you know, with the earlier season games and that kind of thing too. If you were in charge of the roster, and I'm not talking about George, I'm just talking about any roster, how would you handle this new redshirt rule this year?
I don't think I would really, you know, develop much of a policy on it. You know, I think when a guy's ready to play, a guy's ready to play. I think what you have to worry about, and it's what you've always had to worry about with the redshirt rule, is, you know, you don't want to throw a guy in there that maybe not ready to play just to kind of see, you know, because there's a temptation there now that you've got some leeway that you might want to throw a guy in there. Let's say Georgia's, you know, throttling Austin Peay in game one, which should happen, and you've got, you know, Jordan Davis, right? And Jordan may not quite be ready to play, but you're thinking, well, he's a gamer. Maybe we should throw him out there. I think you have to be careful with that because of the fact that maybe he's not ready to play. Maybe he hasn't completely earned the right to play. And maybe you do are really intrigued to say, hey, if, when the lights come on, put this guy in game situation, how's he going to play? You may not want to do that in game one because, you know, if you do that in game one, you got three games left, and it may come down to a situation at the end of the year where you're beating up on Georgia Tech and this kid's already played four games. You don't want to burn a red shirt just to see what he can do. So I think those are the kind of things you have to look at. But, you know, Kirby Smart made it out to be like it was much ado about nothing at SEC Media Days. I kind of know that not to be the truth as far as the way they handle things, simply because, you know, talking to Sam Pittman last year and, you know, talking to him at the Rose Bowl, and we talked about Natori Johnson and Isaiah Wilson, and they said, you know, by the time they felt like they were ready to play and ready to help, it was Isaiah Wilson. He didn't really say that about Natori, but when he said that about Isaiah Wilson, he was like, by the time he was ready to play and we felt like he was one of our better guys, you know, it was in the season where we thought we should redshirt him. And that's kind of not the same philosophy Kirby Smart, you know, kind of displayed, which was, if they can help us, we're going to play them, doesn't matter when, doesn't matter where. But I'm sure there's a common sense element to all of it, and I'm sure they'll have kind of a you know, somebody in charge, if not more than one person in charge of knowing who's played when and what they can get out of certain people, and maybe have a plan going into some games. They won't admit that publicly because they want you to think that UMass is the same as Tennessee, is the same as Auburn, but it's not, and they'll have a plan in place, I'm sure, coming into every game as to who's off limits and who's not.
Jake, you just mentioned a name that I've been thinking about, Natori Johnson. I saw a picture of him recently. I think it was a strength and conditioning coach with him eating an omelet or something. But the thing I took out of that is just how different Natori looked with a year under his belt, strength and conditioning here in Athens, as well as Isaiah Wilson. You think of the other freshmen, you know, offensive linemen coming in, the Cade Mays, Jamari Sawyer. What are these guys, do you think they're going to be a major part of the offensive line? Are they still sort of a work in progress, some of those younger guys that are so highly routed, highly touted?
Well, it's tough. It's tough for Natori Johnson because he's behind two guys that have played a lot of football and that are really talented and quite frankly bigger than he is. I mean, you know, that's not something Natori, I think, really thought would happen ever when he was in high school and he was standing 6'4", 200, you know, 340 pounds. But Ben Cleveland and Solomon Kinley are mountains, and they're both right in front of him on that depth chart. Not to mention Jamari Sawyer's probably going to get some look at right guard, and he may be the most talented member on Georgia's offensive line, period. I mean, he's very talented. But you know, I think he's got a tough road to hoe. I think Cade Mays is going to find himself in a position battle with Isaiah Wilson trying to push him. But from all we've heard, Isaiah Wilson has a significant lead for that right tackle spot, and if he has a strong, you know, summer camp, he's going to be the starting right tackle. You know, I think Justin Schaefer is a guy that you watch out for there at left guard. I think left guard is going to be a pretty contentious battle there with Kendall Baker being the lead dog and a guy that's got a lot of experience. But again, Jamari Sawyer, Trey Hill, can Solomon Kinley flip over there? I don't know if he's a good enough athlete to play left guard, or, you know, he kind of struggles to get up to the second level, and that's where Baker's at his best and what you really want out of that spot. You know, Justin Schaefer is the guy, you know, him and Sawyer are the guys I would circle to really watch there. But, you know, overall, I think that the young guys in the offensive line, Isaiah Wilson's the most likely to play, and then other than that, it's going to be veterans. It's going to be – and when I say veterans, I mean a sophomore – and Andrew Thomas or a redshirt sophomore in Ben Cleveland or Solomon Kinley there at right guard.
Jake, great stuff as always. We appreciate it, man.
All right, guys. Take it easy.
All right, that's Jake Rowe. Dogs 247 and 247sports.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.